program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do.
All right, Fairbanks, you are on the Problem Corner Show. This is Craig Campo filling in for David Prues, who's stuck in Juneau. Couldn't think of a worse place to be stuck. But he's in Juneau doing political stuff, whatever he's doing there, taking bribes and all those kinds of things. No, I'm just joking. But anyway, so I'm going to fill in for him. We've got phone calls available at 907-458-TALK. That's 458-8255. And we've got a special guest in the studio, and I'm going to introduce him in a minute. You've one of my favorite guests, and I do want to talk to, I do want to just do a little bit of housekeeping here and let people know about the fundraiser we had for Alberette and the Alaska Fur Tannery. Fairbanks Fur Tannery went really well. We had a nice crowd. We raised about $20,000. There's some other monies coming in from SCI and AOC and Alaska Trappers, and just a really good feeling to be from Fairbanks when we can reach out and help a guy like Al, who's done so much for all of us and still does. He's a board game member, probably the sharpest one I think we've had on there in decades. He knows a lot of stuff, and he's real fair, and so it's nice. But if you missed the event, it was a great event. It was a fundraiser and beast feast. We had all kinds of different food from Virgil Umpenauer out at Interior Fish. I brought moose sausage and all kinds of good stuff. We brought there was salads and chilies. I brought what I call North Fork moose chili from the good moose from the North Fork, the good pastor. Had a great time, raised some money. But if you weren't able to join, you can still donate, and he still needs to get some more help here. But it's go to AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.org. That's AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.org. And there's a donate button, and it's confusing a little bit because you see the Alberette donation and it says $20, and people think that's all they can donate, and that's great, it's appreciated. But you go to this shopping cart and hit 10 of those and do $200 or $102,000, whatever you want to do. But Al appreciates the help, and he really deserves it, so wanted to go there. One other thing on the I was going to plug our business. It wouldn't be normal if I didn't plug our business. We have kicked off our 2025 Skidoo Spring Order Program. I don't know how many times all winter people came in to buy a sled, and they were sold out. It's just been a trend that's been crazy, partly because of COVID and all that, people realizing how important your off time is, and they need a machine. And then also because we got the best sleds on the market. So shamelessly plugging our Skidoo brand. But anyway, come down and check it out. We got all the price sheets. They jacked up the incentives and all that, so I get to get a plug-in for my business. That's what I told Prues. I said, yeah, I'll do my show, but I'll do your show for you, Dave, but I'm going to shamelessly plug Campos, who's been in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president. So with that, we are going to move on. We have Captain Eric Spitzer here. We got a lot to talk about today. Probably going to take up the whole hour. We scheduled him for a half hour, but there's a lot to talk about. And really welcome you to call in if you have any specific questions for Captain Spitzer. I've said he's my vote for State of Alaska Employee of the Year. He's doing great things over there with the department. They got some really good people working for him, and they're looking for more. So with that, welcome Captain Spitzer.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. So what is new in the law enforcement? I know we got lots to go over, and I want to spend some time, we'll have to do a before and after the first break, but I wanted to talk to you about the highway situation, the convoy situation. Why don't you give us, because when I first called you, said, can you make it on the show? You said, your timing is perfect.
Yeah.
Why is my timing perfect?
Well, your timing is perfect because the other day I got done doing a public safety announcement about military convoys. And this weekend coming up right now, tomorrow, and it's actually going on right now, and throughout the weekend, there's going to be military convoys from Fort Greeley down the Richardson Highway, southbound on the Richardson Highway, and then they're going to go south on the Glen Highway to get back to J-Bear instead of the regular route going down the Parks Highway, Richardson north and then Parks. Which is both good and bad for us. I mean, as a detachment commander here, I'm like, all right, we're not having to worry about the Fairbanks Hills and the accidents that inevitably occur there with these military convoys. But if I was going to go to Anchorage this weekend, I would definitely make sure I don't take the scenic route, go to the Parks Highway, which is also very scenic, but take the Parks Highway. I'd try and stay off that Richardson Highway.
How long is this operation in effect then? Just through the weekend, or is it?
It's through the weekend, but the majority of it, I was looking at the schedule, like, you know, they call it a chalk. Like, they start a chalk and they send, like, a group.
Okay.
And then they wait.
Slow-moving vehicles,
yeah.
Big vehicles.
Huge vehicles. We're talking about, you know, 85. Some of these vehicles are like 85,000-pound vehicles, multi-wheeled, just monstrosities going down the highway. And the thing is, you know, there's two sides to this story. So I don't want to paint a picture like, you know, there's anything wrong with the military or anything like that. I'm a veteran myself, but some of the problem is that we've got these giant vehicles, heavy vehicles, slow-moving vehicles, and they're being operated by young men and women in their 20s.
Yeah, from Alabama or somewhere else.
Yeah, from South Carolina, all over the country. And a lot of these vehicles, the rubber composition and the tires are not, they're not winter tires.
Yeah.
They're not siped. These tires, the composition is like the consistency of like a hockey puck. The colder it gets, the slicker they get.
And it's supposed to be still fairly warm this weekend down there? It was going to drop some, but I don't know how much down in that area.
Last I heard, we were supposed to get snow down in that area, which I don't, you know, I'm not looking forward to that. But they are going to be heading southbound, Richardson Highway. And what I'm asking folks to do is consider that, okay, you have, you know, 20-some-year-olds driving these vehicles. They are essentially commercial motor vehicles. And when we think of commercial motor vehicles up here, we think of, you know, ice road truckers, guys with 20 years plus experience driving big rigs on our roads. These are not real well experienced. I'm not trying to disparage the military or anything like that.
And they need to learn how to drive on these roads, right?
And that's what they're doing. They're training missions and stuff like that. And it's important for our country to show our some of these adversaries that are able to capable and can respond in these military vehicles. But
there's going to be a lot of people heading down snow machining down there too, obviously this time of year. So they've got to be aware of it and be very, very careful and take care of that kind of stuff. That's really good information. I want to talk more about that after this first break.
Okay.
I know that as much information as you can get out earlier, the better, and that's what we're going to try and do. So we will get the information out. We're with Captain Eric Spitzer, and we are talking road hazards and what we can do to prevent nightmare scenario. So stay tuned for that and call in. You're welcome to call in.
97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
When you love being outside in Alaska, wintertime is just another trail to more sporting opportunities. Gear up with Frontier Outfitters, no matter what it is. Small game hunting, predator calling, ice fishing, and more. You'll find what you're looking for. Guns, ammunition, optics, GPS, traps, snares, and the right clothes. Winter camping necessities as well, and a variety of tents and sleeping bags. Prepare for success. Visit Frontier Outfitters. It's the best start to your next outdoor adventure for your Alaskan lifestyle. Frontier Outfitters.
The Comedy Showcase. This time it's the ladies' turn with our Women of Comedy Weekend, starring AGT's Vicky Bubalak with her Trailer Nasty Tour, along with a group of Fairbanks' funniest ladies, opening for Vicky each night. Wednesday the 21st at the North Pole Ale House, Thursday night at the Spur, and this Friday and Saturday night at the Pioneer Park Theater. All shows start at 7 p.m. Tickets available at aktickets.com or at the door. Women of Comedy Weekend with Vicky Bubalak, brought to you by Zach's at Sophie Station and KFAR Radio.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 26. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about zero. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, Fairbanks, we are back in the studio here at KFAR. Craig Compo filling in for David Pruse, stuck in Juneau. And we're talking with Captain Eric Spitzer, and we're talking about this weekend and letting everybody know that you know that's heading down towards Summit to drive with extreme caution, because there are some big rigs going real slow with non-experienced drivers and with less than Blizzak tires on these vehicles. So you had an example, I think we talked before the break, but you had an example of an incident that happened. And it's you know, what you mostly fear with these slow-moving vehicles is a vehicle running into the back of them, right?
Indeed, indeed. I got actually got a couple incidents of things happening where, you know, fault, you know, I don't want to, I'm being real impartial about this, but one example, just recently we had a Humvee in a convoy. It was going, traveling on the Richardson Highway near Delta Junction, and it was going 25 miles an hour, had four-way flashers on, an up-armored Humvee, and it was rear-ended by a Suburban. Unfortunately, the driver of the Suburban was killed in the accident. It was a real tragedy. But I mean, speed was a factor there. We had a speedometer that was stuck at like 90 miles an hour in the Suburban. And like, you know, we just can't do that. And then, you know, the other side of the coin is like just yesterday on the Parks Highway up by Skinny Dick's, tractor trailer, military tractor trailer, was traveling northbound, coming down the hill and around the corner, spun out. And when I say spun out, like twist. Like,
360.
Like a 180. And stuck it into the ditch, trailer first. And imagine if, like, you know, someone's coming along with a Kia Sorento opposite direction, and that, by the grace of God, nobody was coming opposite direction and nobody got hurt on that one. But, you know, we had other incidents where, like, ambulance running code, coming up on Tenderfoot, and not until all the way they got all the way to Eielson did the military convoy yield for that ambulance, who actually had his lights and sirens on, running code, trying to get somebody to the hospital. And it's like, hey, so like what I'm getting at is I want the military to be listening to me.
Yeah.
I want the civilians in this area to be listening in the community. Sure. And we can all come together and like, hey, when you're driving around these military convoys, we got to slow down. We got to give them a little bit extra distance, safe following distance.
Wait for passing lanes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Another incident. I was driving out southbound past Eielson around that corner just as you get south of Eielson. And this guy at an F-150 passes me in a no passing zone, passes a convoy that's like a quarter mile long around a corner, blind corner with no passing zone.
Are you in
zone.
Your trooper vehicle?
Yeah, yeah. I pulled him over. I'm like, what are you doing? You have a death wish or something? But, you know, and folks don't realize that these big, heavy vehicles, they have increased stopping distance. They can't stop on a dime. So someone pulls in with it, you know, they're like, oh, I'll just pull into the middle of this whole thing. Well, if somebody has to, like, hit the brakes, that big 85,000-pound vehicle loaded with artillery shells is going to be make you into a speed bump. So I just want to, like, put that out there.
Do you have any idea, Captain, how many vehicles travel at a time? In other words, so if somebody comes up on them, I mean, obviously, if they're going real slow and you're in a good passing lane and there's no other obstructions or the weather's decent, you can get on by them. But is there 5, 10, 20, and it varies, right?
It does. Yeah, it does vary. And what I just talked to the base commander, or one of the base commanders the other day, and his folks have been told, and they know, hey, when there's vehicles stacked up behind you and you get to a long straightaway, hey, pull over, pull into the, you know, these pullouts, let traffic go past.
Can we share that with the tourists in the motorhomes coming up this summer?
There's actually a statute for that. It said, like, if you are backing traffic up more than five vehicles, you are supposed to pull over.
Yeah, and so seldom they do. And I always have. If I've got a vehicle or I'm not traveling and I see two or three vehicles and it's a long straightaway, I'll just pull over. I don't want them behind me. I like driving by myself anyway, so I try and get them to get out of there. But, okay, well, so that's lesson number one for today on Problem Corner is let your folks know this weekend if you've got kids going down to the Arctic Man, if you've got friends going down to the Arctic Man, if you're going to the, I mean, not to the Arctic Man, but down to Summit for riding. The Arctic Man's canceled, of course. And this is the time of year everybody's so fired up to get down there and whatever. I can only suggest what the captain's saying is just drive with extreme caution. Be careful. Hold your speed down. And especially around these convoys. We want a zero incident. We want to get back on the air next week and say, hey, that was great. We let the people know there wasn't any incidents, and that's what we're going
to
hope. So.
Yeah, my advice would be to leave early. If you want to get out there, like I'm a snow machiner. I like to get there. I like to leave the house about 5:30 in the morning and beat the traffic down there so I can shred up the mountain before everyone else does. Yeah.
Well, and that's what a lot of people probably just still don't know about you. I mean, Captain Spitzer is he likes his crotch rocket, mountain sled. He likes his he's a jet boat, shallow water jet boat junkie. So he's one of us, Fairbanks. So just remember that. So it's good. But we all want to get down there. We're all fired up to go. But just, you know, the mountains aren't going anywhere. The snow is not going anywhere. Just take your time, get down there, or leave a little earlier and just take your time. But when we used to leave, we'd leave really early in the morning and get out. I don't know when the convoy timeline is, when they start?
I think the first ones are around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. So if you can get out and on the road early and beat that.
We used to leave at 4:35. I mean, barely be light by the time we got down to the mountains. We'd go run up on the Canwell Glacier and Miller Creek area and just had for years. It's just so much fun up there. But some of that country's changed too. It's a little more broken up, so you got to be careful. But anyway, so that's news. What else is going on? I know we talk a lot about different things. You had some unique, you said there was a kind of a SWAT type event.
Yeah, it was this thing called, for the listeners that have never heard it, it's called SWATting, and it's not a good thing. SWATting is it's been the news across the country, and what's happening is folks are calling 911 and reporting a dangerous situation that they know would require a SWAT or CERT team response to an incident. It happened last night. I was actually on my way home from work, like 6:30 or something, 7 o'clock at night. Call comes in and they said they're out in North Pole and that this person had just shot a 6-year-old in the back of the head and was holding the other teenagers in the house hostage. And so what happens, you get 10, you know, troopers and North Pole PD showed up and everybody is running out their lights and sirens on icy roads to respond to a location where all the lights are turned off. We ended up calling the homeowner and established that, yes, there were 4 children in the house, and then she was able to make contact with them. But long story short, we go out there, and it creates an incredibly dangerous situation for the people in the house and for the rest of the community. You know, troopers are responding code on icy roads, high speeds.
And you're taking troopers away from other incidents.
And then imagine if somebody came out like, hey, what's all this hubbub outside my house? And they came out with a shotgun onto the front porch. And we are responding to a call like, hey, somebody's in there with a shotgun and just killed all these people. And if he's brandishing the shotgun, I mean, there's all kinds of potential for problems there. Yeah. And we don't want that. And not to mention the fact that it's an enormous waste of public safety resources. This seems to be something that has started in the gaming community. And I don't know, I don't play video games. My life is exciting enough. But apparently these gamers, they get on, they're communicating via phone with other gamers or playing video games, like the same game from different angles, different people playing. Anyway, they're able to pull up other people's profile, which shows their address, their phone number, and all that stuff. So they use that profile to call in the 911 call and say, this thing is happening, and they think it's funny to do that. It's like they think it's a prank.
But this is an actual audio phone call. Somebody's calling in, and they can track the number or no?
Well, there is difficulty in tracking where the calls came from. A lot of times it'll come from, out of state.
It's just for... I mean, this is like shooting road signs, but way worse. So what is the penalty? I mean, if they bust them, they got to put some stiff penalties. They're putting lives at jeopardy, right?
Yeah.
And taking resources away from.
Well, I'll tell you straight up, we take this serious as a heart attack. If we can trace this back and make a case on someone, I will go out of my way. I'll cross the street, go out of my way. to put you under the jail if you're responsible for doing this. It's dangerous. It's nonsensical. And these degenerates that are doing this stuff, think about how irresponsible this is to endanger the community like this. Also, they could have a joke. In fact, the guy on the phone was asking the dispatchers, did you send the SWAT team? Did you send the SWAT team? No, we didn't send the SWAT team. We sent the Alaska State Troopers and we resolved the issue. No one got hurt. And it's like, you know, people like this, I think that, I don't know, they go out and they spread venom. And just to, and what happens is I believe that the world has a way of taking care of itself. Yeah. And when people do stuff like this, you spread venom into the world, you're going to reap it tenfold.
Yeah.
Just like people that are doing good in this world, you know, they're going to reap the rewards of doing good. And I just have no idea why someone would do something like this just to get their little jollies or something. But I'll tell you this, if we're able to make a case, I would actually, the FBI gets involved in all this, especially if it's interstate communication.
And, you know, you have to treat all those calls as if they're serious.
Yeah.
I mean, a six-year-old getting shot in the back of the head is a serious thing. And somebody with brandishing a firearm with other kids in there, you have to take it seriously. And they know that.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's a problem. And I don't know. I'm like you. It's just, what is the mindset? Are these people on drugs? Is it a bet they're having? I bet you can't do this. And they score points in their gaming. I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it. But, the sad part is that law enforcement has to take it seriously. If you all of a sudden quit taking it seriously and then there's a real call like that, you know,
it's like the little boy who cried wolf, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I was responding to this last night. I was thinking about an incident that we had up off of Skyline about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where something very similar to this did happen, and there were several children that were unfortunately killed, murdered by one of their siblings. But so you're thinking to yourself, this has got to be some kind of swatting thing. This has got to be a prank. But in the back of your head, you also have to, I mean, you're responding to an emergency. So
you know, and I've always had that thought where if I were going to rob a bank, and I'm never going to rob a bank, but if I were about to rob a bank on the west side of town, there would be an incident call in for this. I mean, people probably think that way, right? So and this is another reason you'd have danger. When you draw 10 troopers away, you still have other troopers available.
Yeah.
But
we don't send all of our troopers.
No, yeah. But and again, I guess you probably assume that could be the possibility.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because as we were responding to that, I was thinking this could be a distraction for something else. So, yeah, we don't send all of our units.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we've covered a couple of things, the convoys and the swatting incidents. We've got a few more things to talk about. We're going to go to the break here. And we're going to pay some bills, and we'll be back with Captain Eric Spitzer of the Alaska State Troopers and talk more about that kind of stuff. Call in if you want, 458-8255, and we'll talk to you soon.
Coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott says Republicans need to focus on defeating President Biden rather than fighting against each other. He spoke on Fox and Friends ahead of tomorrow's GOP primary in South Carolina.
What we need now is to be very clear. Any other day after tomorrow, talking about Republican primaries is a day wasted not talking about Joe Biden.
Well, Senator Scott has been mentioned as a possible running mate for Donald Trump. At the White House, over at the National Governors Association winter meeting, President Biden says his administration is making progress on cutting the federal deficit.
We cut the deficit by doing all this by $1 trillion so far. The biggest reduction in history in deficit reduction.
But the Congressional Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget warns the U.S. is expected to pay $870 billion just in interest on the national debt this year. That's more than the yearly defense budget. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
A Fairbanks man was arrested Sunday in connection with an alleged vandalism incident at North Star Baptist Church. The vandalism took place just hours before the church's Sunday services were scheduled to begin. Joshua Kraft, 37, was arrested on February 18th after the church reported that the outside of the building was significantly damaged. Kraft is charged with third-degree criminal mischief and first-degree criminal trespassing. Troopers viewed surveillance footage taken outside the church, which showed a man wearing a hood or face mask and a camouflage jacket, smashing windows and doors. Glass with a mini sledgehammer, according to court documents. Footage from a nearby gas station showed the man driving a 2002 blue Dodge Ram, and troopers determined that the owner of the vehicle was Kraft. North Star Baptists have experienced a rash of shootings in recent months. Court documents state that there have been three incidents where shots were fired at the building since October 29th. On February 14th, the church reported that seven shots hit the pastor's office, according to charging documents. Kraft has not been charged or named as a suspect in the shooting incidents, and the investigation
streaming
is ongoing.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Wintertime is always awesome at Ivory Jack's. Whether you ski up, arrive on dog sled, or a snow machine, you're always welcome at Ivory Jack's with great weekend breakfasts with mimosas or their famous Bloody Marys. How about the perfect lunch or maybe a nice steak dinner? Swing out on the weekends to Ivory Jack's for live nightly entertainment, and there's always a game on the big screens. Plus free parking, always at Ivory Jack's. Whether it's your car, snow machine, or dog sled, Ivory Jack's in the heart of the beautiful Goldstream Valley.
You know that the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center prides itself in having the best qualified professional and licensed audiologists in the state. They're proud to announce the addition of Dr. Alexandria Jackson to their team. Dr. Jackson hails from Texas and is passionate about helping patients with hearing and balance dysfunction challenges, and she specializes in diagnosis of both adult and pediatric patients. She joins the experts and medical professionals at the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center, where they can help you with your hearing loss. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Hello, I'm William Shatner. Blood Bank of Alaska. As the sole blood and blood product provider in the state of Alaska, BBA provides blood products to virtually every hospital in the state, including all tribal and military medical facilities. We ask that you donate today. Your blood or platelet donation can save your fellow Alaskan's life.
This message brought to you by the radio station 529 Fifth Avenue.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, Fairbanks, we are back. We're speaking with Captain Eric Spitzer on the Problem Corner show, filling in for Dave Prus. And we are going to talk a little bit about some things we've talked about before, but they're always front and center with you, I know, is the recruitment. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
You had a couple things on your list you wanted to talk about.
Well, first and foremost, I wanted to go ahead. You know, as I always come bearing gifts, I wanted to go ahead and bring you some roadkill moose.
I love it.
Those are the pepperoni sticks I got from Virgil's place over there on Davis Road.
It was a great guy. I mean, Virgil, and he's got some phenomenal product over there, interior fish processors. We use them all the time. I refer people to them all the time. You know, he's another one of these owl types that is just always on the boards and on the ACs, and he's probably the most knowledgeable guy on fish in the state of Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
Really knowledgeable on Yukon fisheries, on the Area M and all that, and he's always, I mean, he goes back so many years, and he's got a memory. It must be the fish.
Maybe. Omega-3 fatty acids.
Yes, he has a memory. You can't believe it. He goes, yeah, it was like September 9th, 1991, I think, the last time I was at that meeting, and we voted 17-4. And, you know, he'll tell you everything about the history of fish in the state, and obviously there's a lot to learn. You get lifetime learning. But
how about the spread that he brought to Al's benefit?
Oh, God, that was great.
All that sausage and
platters. Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, thank you, Virgil. Good. It was really good to have. You know, it was a beast feast. I mean, that's what I always wanted to put one of those on. We never did. And it's just invite everybody to bring their favorite wildlife product, whether it's be chili or whatever else. And so it was a good event. It was a really good event.
Yeah, I was impressed how, like, I thought it was going to be like a wild game feed and like, hey, you know, but all those event, all that stuff that you had for auction and everything, it's just.
Yeah, we had several guns. We had artwork. We had furs. Alaska Raw Fur donated a beautiful, we called a beaver survival kit, mitts, hat, and ruff. We had a lynx hat, the full lynx hat set up, was provided by another furrier. And then there was, we had a used snow machine. We had
a gun boot. I got a gun boot out of the deal. Yeah. I still need help getting that thing attached to the brutal.
Oh, that's right. You got one of those BRP lynx brutals.
Yeah. There's a crossover, you know, for when I'm not out ripping. That's great for when you're with the family. You kind of cross over 20-inch wide track, still 2 3/8-inch paddles.
Yeah.
And 850 E-Tech.
You know, that's the thing. That whole market has changed. You know, it went from the regular summits, and they got longer and longer and longer, 175-inch.
Yeah.
And now you got a 20-inch wide track with inch and three-quarter lugs and crazy horsepower, these turbos, you know, 175 plus horsepower. And then it's so different. I'm actually glad when I was Highmarking in my, you know, early days, 20s and stuff, the machines were limited by the machines, because I, you know, at a 20-year-old kid, I'm all thumb in that thing going as high as you can physically go. Now the things will get there, so you got to use some common sense.
Yeah.
But it is really nice to have a machine that you can, and we've kind of got off of law enforcement here, but Eric doesn't carry a lot of stuff.
I always look forward to talking about this stuff.
So, but it's really neat how the whole industry has changed, and it's a niche market. So they've gone after. They realize we're getting older. We're not the high marking crotch rocket crazies that we used to be. We also want to pull a sled up to the cabin, but we want to be able to disconnect that sled and go play in the hills and straight up the side of a hill and use that power when it's there. So. So it's really neat to see how this has progressed. Our expeditions sell so well. You've got a Lynx Brutal, which is just a dialed in performance wide track. I mean, amazing.
You see those Fox shocks on there? Are they Fox shocks?
Yeah. Well, there's different models shocks on the different models Lynx and stuff, but there are so many KYBs that are the piggyback shock. Just they've made the right, you're so isolated from the ground now. See, I'm getting into it too. I'm talking about sleds. We just have gone to a full-fledged commercial.
What's cool about those Brutals is that when you pull the trigger on that thing, you better have your daddy pants on, because I mean, it's got some snort to it. Both skis are off the ground and you're taking off like a power. Yeah, it's 850.
When they first came out with the 850, we took in every one of the summits in the toolbox. I went and bought a couple cases of Depends diapers, and as a joke, I put one in each toolbox. Didn't say anything to anybody. Awesome. So they're out with their buddies and they go to grab a tool or something and they go, "What's this?" that's combo putting diapers in my snow machine.
Oh man.
Yeah, no, they're pretty impressive. Anyway, so we should probably talk a little bit about that too. Seasonal issues before we get into the recruitment. Seasonal issues that we have this time of year, whether it was be with snow machiners, slick roads, and of course you got the sun. You got more sun. You got don't you have more domestic issues and suicide in March and April? A lot of that seems like that time of year, the cabin fever thing.
Yeah,
people get a little goofy.
Yeah. Right?
So what do you notice that, or how do you prepare for that, or can you?
It's funny you mentioned it, because I was about to call up the UAF and tell them, hey, can you turn down the HARP project a little bit? I have a little fun with them over there, Sean McGee, and then,
love that guy.
Oh yeah, it's the season. It is a season. Yeah. We've had some, if folks are maybe getting a little cabin fever, and you would think that with the days getting longer and more sunshine and the weather getting warmer, that like people would kind of ease up. But for whatever reason, it seems like we got a spike in the number of folks that are experiencing mental illness or they're, you know, in crisis.
Suicide. I've learned that over the years. I remember March was always kind of one of the danger months. And it's just probably the change with all the light. Something clicks in your body. But
you know, if anyone's listening out there and they're thinking about self-harm, or they're like feeling like, you know, like they're a little off or something, or feeling suicidal, they can call 988 and get there's counseling available, free counseling available for that on the phone. they can provide some, get some guidance. They could call, also call 451-5100, get the Alaska State Trooper dispatcher on there. Sure. If they have a, like an emergency, like they're, I need cops here now. Or they can just call 911 and it'll go through Fairbanks City Dispatch. But yeah, I just want to encourage, like remind folks that, you know, suicide is, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Right.
And we love the community of Fairbanks here. We hate to see people passing like that, especially, you know, military folks, real young, vibrant military folks are just getting a slump.
Yeah. So. And kind of on a related note, we did have somebody call in and sent a message on the Hope Link Warming Shelter, the Hannah Solomon, Solomon building. I guess it's going to be like 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. They're open at 317 Wendell Avenue, a new warming shelter in town. Can't have too many of those in the winter. You know, it is a struggle for folks. And, you know, we have some great agencies like the Rescue Mission that Pete Kelly runs and the food bank with Sam Kirsten over there. I mean, really wonderful outfits that do a lot, but there's no shortage of demand. You know, it's just, it's really tough and you see it all the time. But, you know, Fairbanks is a giving community and everybody helps where they can, whether it be with donating clothes. I mean, I always tell everybody that we're in the middle of remodeling our house right now, and we are going to have truckloads of stuff to take down to the the rescue mission, and it's just it's amazing. Same thing with the food. I always like to plug this. If you've got freezer meat that is a year or two old, it's not burned or anything, and you're not going to get to it, give it to Sam at the food bank. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need that stuff. And it's not doing any good on the bottom of your freezer. It's not getting any fresher, right? So, but if it's well prepared, they don't want freezer burned fish and stuff like that. But but anything else they can certainly use. So remember that. I told her we're going to have a big freezer frenzy party one of these days, and try and see how many pounds of, because you guys do that with the troopers. You donate. You're down at Sam's or Costco, and you're raising money for the community. A lot of good stuff like that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, with the regard to the food bank and the community of Fairbanks. Number one, I've never been in a more positive community than Fairbanks.
Yep.
I've never been in a community that's more generous to charitable donations like the food bank and things like that, food drives. Anytime we're doing anything like that, the public is just out in numbers, like shop with the cop, shopping with Santa.
Yep.
Very supportive of us. And what I really like about the community is how conservative it is. I like that it's a conservative community. Yep. I like that it's a generous community. I like that it's a positive community. I mean, we have our problems. Don't get me wrong.
But always said that I think Fairbanks is probably the most conservative town area of 100,000 people anywhere on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, if you got smaller, then you could count Delta in there. But as far as just a conservative community that's a giving community, people, Fairbanks is anywhere near 100,000, again, with North Pole and everything else. So, but we're going to lose that. It seems to be losing it, so we got to get it back. We got to rein that in. Hey, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about an idea I threw at Trooper Spitzer. Captain Spitzer, about a way to bust the bad guys and little incentives and stuff. We're going to just, I bounced that off him on the phone yesterday when I called.
Oh, the sweepstakes.
Yes. We got to call it the See Something, Say Something sweepstakes. So tune in for that. We're going to have some fun with that and just try and do something to help with crime in the community. So many people get away with crime because somebody sees something and doesn't say something. And we want to fix that. We can do it maybe with a little sticking carrot. So anyway, we'll be right back after these messages. We will join back with Captain Spitzer, and we will see you folks on the flip side of this message. Stay tuned.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Alaska Family Council is proud to present conservative radio and podcast host Dennis Prager, founder of The Dennis Prager Show and Prager University, for one day only in Fairbanks, Saturday, February 24th. Get your tickets and join Dennis Prager for a lunch and lecture at the Wedgwood Resort in the Borealis Ballroom, with a private reception and dinner at the Antique Auto Museum later that evening.
Dennis Prager here. I've always wanted to see the Northern Lights. And what better way than Fairbanks, Alaska in February? I'm excited to come up to the Golden Heart City on Saturday, February 24th, to help Alaska Family Council, a group fighting for faith, family, and freedom, raise critical funds. I'm equally excited to share my views on the Israeli war, presidential politics, and everything else going on in the world. Go to akfamily.org to get your seats today See you then.
Don't miss Dennis Prager, Saturday, February 24th in Fairbanks. Get your tickets now for the Dennis Prager Luncheon and or reception and dinner at akfamily.org.
Breathe easy and save money. Natural gas is not only cleaner for the environment, it's also more affordable. Delivered heating oil is about 45% more expensive than natural gas this winter. Bottom line, natural gas is a cheaper, more reliable, clean source of fuel. And switching to natural gas from wood or oil can help clean the air in Fairbanks and North Pole. A natural gas service line can cost as little as $350 for residents and $500 for businesses. To apply or view coverage maps and more, go to interiorgas.com.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today with highs around 26. Easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lulls level off around zero tonight. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Slight chance for snow tomorrow. Highs around 16. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
.com. Okay, we're back with Captain Eric Spitzer. This is Craig Compo filling in for Dave Prues. The last 15 minutes of the show, we got 458-8255. That's 907-458-8255. Feel free to call in and ask the captain anything. But I was talking to you yesterday when I was inviting you onto the show. I said, hey, I just kind of have this crazy idea. And as a businessman in town, we see a lot of businesses getting ripped off, whether they're breaking in the fence or they're, you know, just bad stuff can happen. And business owners, Tim, the guy that owned
Tim Green mining company,
got hit hard this year. And you guys were like superheroes on that deal. That's become my favorite success story in the crime scene in Fairbanks.
Indicting people. There's like 8 people indicted on
and
that.
They're all in jail fighting each other now.
Everybody telling on everybody.
Yeah. But anyway, so I brought out this thing and I just threw it out there and I said, what if we had a see something, say something sweepstakes?
Great idea.
Okay, you like
I'm it, all right? in.
Yeah, you're all in. So what this would be is we got to get, and I'll be the first business, Compos will donate $500. I want to make at least a $2,500 carrot, like a pot. And Captain Spitzer or somebody at his staff would be the one that once a year you get to dedicate the best tip of the year that nailed somebody. And, you know, and they got somebody busted that took drugs off the street, that got guns out of the wrong people's hands, that prevented a domestic issue, whatever.
Or like the top three.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do the top.
You know, because there's so many good ones. Yes. I hate to just narrow it down to just one.
Well, the one in Enana was phenomenal. Oh, somebody saw somebody running out of the house, and then Trooper hopped in there. We talked about that. House. And
how about the Two Rivers thing?
Talk about that.
We put $20,000. Well, I don't want to say we. So what happened was we were out there in Eagle River, Two Rivers, and we had that serial arson thing going on out there. We were at a community meeting in the Pleasant Valley Community Center. Somebody brought up, no, it wasn't the community center, it was in church. Anyway, we're in the church. Someone said, what are we going to do about this? Could we do a reward? And I said, absolutely. Yeah. Open my wallet, pull out a $100 bill. I said, I'll be the first one to donate to it. We ended up with $27,000.
This is when the arson fire.
Yeah. Yep. It was donated to the, we didn't even touch the money. It went to the Pleasant Valley Community Center, and Bob Sugden was kind of organizing all that out there. He's a pastor of one of the churches. And hey, anyone who gives us information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for all that serial arson going on out there, we're going to put this money in your pocket. So we ended up getting 2 really good tips. And what happened was we ended up splitting. So each of them came out with whatever $27,000 is, split 13, in half, yeah, like $13,000 or $14,000 each in their pocket. And we did the big ceremony out there, gave them the giant checks and all that stuff. And nothing makes me happier than to, like, when the community pulls together to solve a common problem, and then we push back money back into the community and say, hey, thank you for doing this. And I want to thank all the people that donated to that cause, because I think that was definitely part of the solution.
Sure.
And with what you're suggesting, like that see something, say something sweepstakes, I think what we could do is, get checks made out to like maybe like the Fraternal Order of the Alaska State Troopers, which is a charitable like donation, and that way I'm not handling money and you know what I mean. I just put the checks into that.
Yep.
It's a non-interest bearing account.
We did that with the bear outfit.
Yeah. So the safety bear thing. Yeah, which we're still working on.
Good. Yeah.
Yep.
And speaking of which, the safety bear donations are.
Yeah, you donate $1,000 for that.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of other people have donated money, so we want to get some money in that. That's the educational bear for the troopers, for the schools, and all that stuff. And so we need to finish paying for that. So make sure if you've got a few bucks extra rolling around, donate it to
definitely a good cause.
FOAST. You can take it down to the troopers' office and just write a check to FOAST.
Indeed.
And do that. But yeah, so if we can, it would be really neat to start something like this. My challenge right now is to any other businesses, you can give me a call at the shop and tell me you're in. There's a lot of good businesses in town that care about this community.
Oh, yeah.
And if you just dedicate $500, one-time deal, we'll get other businesses later, but we'll put at least $2,500 pots of money together as a see something, say something reward. Now, people will argue and go, well, you shouldn't have to be encouraging people. Sometimes people are just hesitant, and that might be what just flips them over to do it. So, well, if nothing else, I'll make a few bucks on it.
Right.
No problem. We're happy to pay it, right?
Absolutely.
We want to pay it.
Love it.
Yeah, we love it. And it's just an extra carrot incentive to do it. You don't have to be public. You know, you don't have to. You're not going to be in the paper. But, you know, what if you saved a kid's life? What if you got drugs out of it? You saw something going down. And like you said, everybody's got a cell phone. That's your tool.
Yep.
If you saw somebody dragging a kid out of a store and getting into a car, it could be an angry parent. Take a picture of the license plate.
It could be a kidnapping, too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that kid could, you know,
And I want to caution people not to put themselves in harm's way or in peril or anything like that. But if you are able to get a cell phone, put it on video, zoom it in, see a face, see a license plate, and like maybe follow the car for a short distance, staying on the phone with us. And letting us know, like, you know, where you are, which way the vehicle's turning and things like that. Very helpful.
I also think something else that might be nice is everybody should, I don't know if they should or not, but they should have the trooper's number readily available.
Yeah.
You're not driving down the road trying to text and see what the trooper's number is.
Right.
Write it, put it on a little sticker note on your dash or whatever. Put it in your phone.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But just have it ready quick because they'll respond right away. And so anyway, we'll see if that goes anywhere. Anybody listening wants to help get this sweepstakes program started, give me a call at the shop at Compos 479-2271, and we'll put it together, and we'll deliver a check out to FOAST, and we'll make this happen.
And you know what? In the meantime, if someone does have a tip, they want to do a tip anonymously, they can go into their AK Tips. AK Tips, there's an app in your smartphone. If you go into your app store and click on that, AK Tips, and then you're able
that
to,
app. It's great.
Or you can also do it online. Go to the Alaska State Trooper webpage, scroll down to say report anonymous tip, and you can click on that and just type it in.
So you got three ways there to get a call it in, or go online, and two different places there. And speaking of calling in, you guys still have some recruitment needs, right?
Oh, yeah. We are, I'll tell you this. If you know anybody that is interested in being a dispatcher, we've got like 9 dispatch positions open over at AST right here in Fairbanks. We are really needing dispatchers bad.
Because tips don't do any good without dispatchers.
They don't,
right?
You know. We need call takers and dispatchers. So there's that. We're always recruiting for the Alaska State Troopers. If you know a qualified applicant that might be interested in a career in law enforcement, let me know. Just call 451-5100 and ask for me and give me the name. Also, hey, there's something really kind of cool. If you know somebody who's like over 18, we have got an opening right now in Workplace Alaska for a public safety technician 2. And what a great stepping stone that would be. You come work over at the Trooper Post and helping out, moving stuff around, helping out with evidence and different things. I can go into the job descriptions online. But if you're 18, there's a bunch of troopers that start off. They do that. They get that job. And then as soon as they turn 21, they transition to being a trooper. They build a great working, great reputation for themselves, a lot of good references. And they learn about being a trooper and what it's all about. And I got to tell you, I've got a nephew that as soon as he turns 18, I'm going to tell him, like, man, you should put in for this.
That's good. And we need good young people here trying to keep them in the community, and you make a safer community. You got a community people want to live in and not leave. So, so that's good.
But that job's open. I think it closes in like a week or something like that. So if you're interested or you know somebody who's interested, tell them to get on Workplace Alaska and PST2 Fairbanks AST.
So you're the captain of the state troopers here. You are a jet boat junkie.
Uh-huh.
You're a snow machine fanatic.
Uh-huh.
You even hopped on our little stand-up widescape and went out and broke some powder
on
that.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, on a Saturday, I'm easy to find. I'll be down at Moose Mountain snowboarding down there with the kiddos and just killing. I just love getting outdoors and, I love burning some fuel. I love getting some energy, burning off some energy, too.
Harvested an animal or something.
Oh,
so I was telling you before the show, I got to get you up to my place on the river. You love your jet boat junkie.
Oh, yeah.
And so this fall, we got to make a trip up there.
For sure.
Get you up there. You'll love it up there. To me, that is the best therapy in the world. There's nothing like, especially when you get up on the North Fork. You get past, to me, I take people on the Goodpaster River, and I'm almost embarrassed by the lower river. Nothing against the lower river. You might as well be on a Chena as far as the river size and everything. It's like, once you get up about 50 miles and you hit the North Fork and the river gets cut in half and it starts getting technical. And you're skipping over logs. And then you go further above Pogo Mine and it's getting real technical. And then you get up towards Tibbs Creek. It, to me, is just, there's nothing like that feeling of you never know what's around the next corner. It could be a moose, a bear, a wolf, could be anything there. You never know what's there for how the river changes. I love watching how the river changes. It's changing right now. It's changing about 10 miles below our camp up there, where I literally don't know if we're going to be able to get to the camp if the water's under a certain level, which I watch on the USGS water chart.
Yeah.
We just filmed a show last year with an outfit out of Great Britain called the episode. It's Sue Perkins is the name of it. Her show is called... what's it called? I can't even remember the name of her show, but she's got a really popular show over there, and Lost in Alaska is the name of this episode. She went all over Alaska, and we took her up there, and we had to skip over ankle deep water for about 200 yards with two people hanging on the nose of the boat, and they had drones flying over. I can't wait to see it. It aired in London on February 9th, so we're going to watch that. That should be fun. But those kinds of things.
We like
taking them up. But once you're up there, you just don't want to leave. It's beautiful. There's, the just the sound of the water going by, the fishing, the water's clear.
Oh, yeah.
To me, that's my – I've never road hunted a day in my life.
No.
I'm lucky, very fortunate to be in this business. And that's one of the benefits of being in the boat business is getting to have design and try to perfect shallow water boat operations. It's my passion, right?
So yeah.
Anyway,
there's nothing
gotta get you up there.
Oh man, there's nothing like sliding your boat sideways to take water with you across a skinny spot. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, making your own water.
Yep, water.
Yeah, now I'm all fired up for this.
Me too. Me too. That's the thing about Fairbanks. When it's summer, I can't wait till it's winter. When it's winter, I can't wait till it's summer. I mean, it's great all seasons.
Yeah, it is. Well, I really appreciate you coming in and filling us in. We try to do this at least every 4 or 6 weeks, get Captain Spitzer in here. Just a wonderful guy and a great resource for Fairbanks. Somebody that's not only, just got a job here, he's got a passion here, and he's one of us. He loves jet boats. He loves snow machining. He loves getting out and playing with the kids. So when you hear people say, don't call the cops, they won't do anything, maybe years ago, and I don't think that was ever really a fair statement anyway, because there's a lot going on. But thank you for what you do, Captain Spitzer. Really impressed with everything you've been doing. And look forward to having you here for a long time.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to serve you and the community of Fairbanks.
All right. Well, that's it for Problem Corner for David Pruse. And glad I got to plug my business a little bit and talk to Captain Spitzer. We'll be back Monday with the Problem Corner episode.
This is David Pruse. Talk station.
We'll see it.
Absolutely no doubt in my mind. Enough is enough is enough with this guy.
660 AM, KFAR, Fairbanks.
She's hoping for a big upset. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News. White House hopeful Nikki Haley hoping to pull out her first primary win tomorrow in her home state of South Carolina. But the momentum is with her Republican rival. Fox's Mark Meredith is in Charleston.
The Haley campaign has been going to great lengths the last couple of days to insist that they are looking past South Carolina, that they know the odds are against them. We've seen the polls show former President Trump.